Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are your people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, I try and keep my finger in the dike until after Thanksgiving Day, as hard as it is, because in the stores, the trees and the wreaths and the Santa Clauses and things have been out for months already. But now it's on, isn't it? I mean, Thanksgiving has come and gone, and the season is washing over us, like it or not. And the beginning of most of our conversations these days is, are you ready for Christmas? Or what are you doing for Christmas this year? Are you traveling? Are you going someplace for Christmas? Are the kids coming in? Those are the questions that kind of drive our conversations along these days. So I thought we'd take just a couple minutes here and get it out of our system, all right? Find a couple of people around you. You've got two questions to talk about. First of all, what are you doing for Christmas this year? And secondly, what do you hope Santa Claus brings you? Okay? You've got just a couple minutes. Go, 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 go. Okay. I offer three observations. First of all, nobody wants to stop talking. Second of all, nobody had any trouble getting that conversation started. It didn't take you a few minutes to go, I wonder what I'm going to do for Christmas. You were ready for that one. Third, I saw people smiling in here that I haven't seen smile since I got here, I believe. I love you all. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes it's like watching a wax museum from up here. It's okay. I get it. You know, my staff always says, will you please tell us how you're feeling, because your face never lets on. You know, I'm one of those two. But everybody lit up on that question. We're expecting good things, aren't we? We're anticipating good things. We've got wishes that we are excited about for the holiday season. It's always been a part of Christmas, that sense of anticipation. And it's built now into the church calendar, the liturgical calendar, this season that we call in the church Advent, a season of expectation, of waiting, in which we not only think about what maybe God is getting ready to do in us, but remember what it must have been like back in those days before Jesus was born and his people were straining forward, wondering what he was going to do next. I don't know. I thought Ami was going to steal my sermon this morning. She got up and started talking about those catalogs. At some point in the last few months, I felt the switch click. I have begun reminiscing like an old person. I started telling stories about, well, when I was young, it's fun, you know? It's frightening, but it's fun. How many of you date back to the days when the old Sears catalog came to the house in the fall? Kids, you got to talk to your parents about this. This was special. Those things came in, they were about yay thick, and it said right on the front what it was, wish book. And it had everything in it. Now, I was growing up, this is before internet, children, believe it or not. Somewhere between the end of the dinosaur age and the invention of internets where I grew up. And we lived out, 2 hours from the nearest department store. It was before Walmart, children. Okay? And when that wish book came in and I opened it up to the color pages, you all know what I'm talking about, right? A bunch of the pages were black and white for the grown-ups, but for the kids, all the pages were in color in the middle. And I saw toys I'd never heard of or dreamed about. And Mom would give me a black marker and my sister a red marker. And we were allowed to go in there and circle the things that we wanted Santa Claus to bring us on Christmas. We had an expectation, a sense of leaning forward into what was going to happen on Christmas. Christmas wishes, Christmas prayers, maybe, is a part of what this season is about. Scott read us a passage in which Isaiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, utters a Christmas prayer. Now, he didn't know it was a Christmas prayer, but we do. It was a Christmas prayer, and it went something like this: Lord, come down and inhabit your people again. Lord, come down, bring fire from on high and inhabit the lives of your people again. Lord, come, bring the fire of cleansing, because he knew, as we still know, that in our hearts we need to be cleansed, that our world is full of things that need to be burned away and made new. Come, Lord, bring cleansing fire, bring revival fire. Because he could look back, as many of us can, to a time when it seems like things were better. To a time when it seems like God was more active, to a time maybe where he felt like he was closer to God, like everything, every word of Scripture came alive when he read it or heard it. Come down with fire, revival fire, and inhabit your people again. Come down with surprising fire. You know, I've read this passage I don't know how many times over the years, because, you know, it's an Advent passage, and I'm getting to where I've done this a few times. And yet this time, as I read it, something caught me new. Isaiah said, when you did things that were not expected. God is always full of surprises, isn't he? When you come in surprising ways, bring your fire, O God. And the reason sometimes we're surprised is because we understand who God is and who we are. Isaiah's passage, he says, it's got this great statement about who God is. There's never been a God like you who helps those who do good gladly and who remember your ways. That's the good news that Isaiah had for the people of Israel in his day. That is the kind of God we serve. The bad news that Isaiah had for his people is, you know, sometimes the people who do good gladly and remember your ways, sometimes that's not us. Sometimes we forget to remember. Sometimes We rebel on purpose, and sometimes we don't rebel on purpose. It just kind of, your presence just kind of slips away from us, just kind of dissipates. And we look back and suddenly we realize I'm not walking with you the way I used to. Isaiah goes so far as to say, I'm not sure the last time I saw somebody drop to their knees and call on your name in expectation. I'm not sure I remember the last time I saw somebody, the language he used, strive to take hold of you. Isn't that beautiful? Not sure the last time I saw somebody try to grab hold of you with both arms, Lord, and refuse to let go. That's what he's saying. I don't remember the last time I saw it. And so, why would you help us now? I see who we've become. I see what we've left behind. Our good deeds are nothing compared to your holiness, worse than nothing. He uses a figure of speech. I won't try and unpack it here. But the sense of it is, you were trying to give birth to something, Lord, and we have let you down. See, God has dreams too. God has expectations and wishes too. And Isaiah said, I know we were supposed to be more. I know as your people, we were supposed to be the ones that brought righteousness in the world. I know that as your people, we were the ones that people were, the nations were supposed to look to and say, that's what it means to follow God. I know we were supposed to be the ones that carried your blessing into this world and made it heaven on earth. I know that's who we were supposed to be, and I know that we have failed to give birth to your dream. So why would you help us now? He says. You know, sometimes all this expectation just sets us up for disappointment, you know? It's hard to hit that bar sometimes because it's so high. Sometimes we move through this season and it ends in kind of a sputter or a disappointment. But sometimes the magic happens, right? I mean, I remember one Christmas so clearly. I was a parent by this time. I have some great memories of Christmas as a child, but this one was one as a parent. My oldest son, I knew what he wanted for Christmas, but he didn't have the boldness to even say it because he knew that it was more than we could afford. I knew that it was more than we could afford. What he wanted was a drum set. He had started drumming in band, and he wanted to have a drum set because we'd started a little praise band at the church where we were serving. We needed a drummer, and he wanted to be it, but nobody had any drums. Well, Mom and Dad couldn't do that, but we enlisted the help of Santa Claus and some other helpful relatives, and we found a way to make it happen. And that Christmas morning would have been perfect if the only thing that happened was that he found that drum set under the blanket where we had hidden it on Christmas morning. Down in the basement. It was too big to get under the tree, right? So there's a card under the tree, and he goes and he finds it down in the basement. That would have been perfect, but my sister and her husband were visiting with my niece, now a beautiful young woman, but she was about 5 at the time. Growing up in Georgia, she had never seen snow. And before she went to bed on Christmas Eve night, she told her grandpa, my dad, Papa, I wish we could have a white Christmas. And we did. It snowed in the night, and the kids went out sledding that day, Now, we're living in the middle of the eastern Kentucky mountains, and somehow the only place they could find to go sledding was down a drainage culvert outside the house. It may be, you know, about this tall. But, you know, if you're at a certain age, that's enough. You just need a few feet to get up a good head of steam and roll off the sled at the bottom and laugh and giggle and on you go. It was perfect. It was absolutely magical. That whole Christmas. Sometimes, though, they come with disappointment. I don't know if you've ever had one of those Christmases where, as a child, you know how the song goes. He's making a list and he's checking it twice and he's going to find out who's naughty and nice. And I was afraid he had found out. Because best I could figure and do the books, I was on the line at the very least of the naughty list and probably had tipped over at some point in the last month to the bad side of things. And what I wanted more than anything that year was a bicycle with a banana seat and a sissy bar. Okay, old people, you remember those? Thank you. I had a bike. I didn't need a new bike, but yeah, I really did because the other kids' bikes were cool and mine wasn't anymore. And I needed that bike. And yet I knew down inside me somewhere that I didn't deserve that bike. And I hadn't quite got up the nerve to, you know, break the spell or anything, but I was getting to the point where I was starting to kind of figure out how things worked out. I helped my dad pack the car before we went to Indianapolis to spend the Christmas Eve night with Grandma and Grandpa Nettleton. And so I had this sneaking suspicion that maybe Santa wasn't going to come through with the bicycle. And that night I woke up in the middle of the night when everybody was supposed to be asleep, visions of sugar plums and all that. And I leaned out of the little room where we had our pallets on the floor at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and I looked out under the Christmas tree, and there was just the Christmas tree lights lighting things up, so I couldn't tell exactly what was out there, but I could tell there was nothing big and bicycle-shaped, right? And I went back to bed, and I was sad, but I couldn't really be upset because I knew how Santa works. And I knew I hadn't earned that bike. So the next morning we got up and we did our Christmas things and went through the stockings and saw what Santa had left us. And it was nice. It was more than I deserved. What was under the tree was more than I deserved. And so I was enjoying what I did get. And Grandpa went out to the garage then. And he probably, you know, just for full disclosure, he probably went out there to get a beer because, you know, that was my grandpa and it was Christmas Day. But I heard from out in the garage, "Huh," he said. He poked his head back in. He says, "I think Santa left something out here in the garage." Well, my sister and I were both on our feet like a flash, ran out into the garage, and sure enough, not one, but two big bicycle-shaped lumps under a blanket out in the garage. We pulled them aside. Sister and I both got bicycles. Now, that was a precious, precious gift. Not just because it's what I wanted, but because I knew it wasn't what I deserved. So Isaiah calls out to God. He says, "Oh, that you would come down and bring fire again." But I can't remember the last time I've seen your people call out to you. I can't remember the last time I've seen your people reach out and try to take hold of you and hang on like their lives depended on it. I don't know how many times we've let you down. I know we are not what you meant us to be. But You're still Daddy, right? You're still the potter and we're still the clay, right? And however much we stink at it, we're still your people, right? So, Lord, surprise us one more time. That was his prayer. And he had no way of knowing it, but it was a Christmas prayer because that's when it was answered. On that first Christmas morning, when a baby born to two refugees was laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn, God came down in fire and purity and revival and surprise. He blessed his people again. So Isaiah's prayer was answered on Christmas. And the question I want us to move through Advent with is, would we have the boldness to pray that prayer again? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.